for your sweet spirit that I feel in this place. God, you are moving. That you're not done for what you want to do in this house, God. And Lord, we give you just our attention and our focus, God. And I just pray that you would speak to the people, oh God. Lord, that it would be your words spoken to your congregation this morning. God, and we just lift your name up in Jesus' name. Amen. God is so good. Amen. How many is thankful to be in the house? I said, how many is thankful to be at the house? I know y'all were screaming louder at that TV than last week than that when the Chiefs were playing. How many are thankful to be in the house? Amen. Amen. God is good. It's such a, such an honor that the pastors would invite me to speak this morning. They're out just having some time in Arizona at Fresh Starts Church, just getting a fresh start and fresh touch in them as what they're doing there. So I am honored to minister this morning, and I just feel like the Lord has given a word this morning, and it's so cool because just as the flow of the service has been, it's been little snippets of just confirmation with the exhortation, and even as my sister Sabrina came up to me right before during the offering. So I believe he has this word for us, and we're going to get into it, and then we're going to see what God wants to do. Amen. Is that right? Amen. So this morning, I wanted to preach on the thought of a body unified. A body unified. It's going to be more, I guess, in the concept of maybe a little teaching. I'm in there, which I don't really do much, but we're going to go with it, all right? So I want to speak on the thought of a body unified. And I just feel in my spirit today that unity is amongst the body of Christ. Just fresh unity in our hearts, in our minds here at New Life Ministries. And I just kept hearing the Lord say, unity in our pursuit. Unity in our pursuit. We understand that we just came through a season of our sacred season where we took a time of fasting and prayer and just agreeing on that and just aligning our focus for this next season. As we step into this new year, this new season, we was able to take that time during that, even last week. I mean, how many just enjoyed Dr. Joyce? People enjoy her. Just an amazing message, just challenged us. I love the fact of what we did with the deeds. It was just an awesome moment and just challenging us as we wrote those things down. And so I just kept feeling and hearing unity in pursuit. We're going to be in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. And it's going to be this first scripture. And it says this. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And from this scripture, I want to hit on a few words from this scripture. And the words that I want to just hit on real quick is with one accord. And bear with me here, okay? I don't ever speak or put the meaning of the Greek word of it. So bear with me as I just destroy what this name probably actually sounds like. And with one accord in the Greek is, you can put this up, hamuthamadon. It's hamuthamadon. You know, it's basically a dinosaur, okay? It sounds like a dinosaur, right? Hamuthamadon, okay? You know, so with one accord in the Greek, listen, I was on Blue Letter Bible. I just kept replaying it. Like, okay, I got it. So hamuthamadon. Don't name your kids that. You may get embarrassed. So, and it is a compound of the base of this. A little teaching moment about this word right here. Stay with me. Compound words of the first part being hamu, which means together. And then thumos, which means passion. And it actually says angry passion. It is a unique word. And it's used about 10 times in the book of Acts alone. 12 all through the Bible with one accord, but 10 times alone you hear this in the book of Acts. And in the Blue Letter Bible, I'm going to read what this definition says of this word, and it's amazing. So I'm going to read it here. It says, it helps us understand the uniqueness of Christian community. Hamuthamadan is a compound of two words meaning to rush along and in unison. The image is almost musical. A number of notes are sounded which, while different, harmonize in pitch and tone. As the instruments of a great concert under the direction of a concert master, so the Holy Spirit blends together the lives of members of Christ's church. So in this verse, the meaning that come together was they were coming together in one mind and one passion. This morning, we have come in one mind and one passion. And just think about this. Just think about this. Leading up to this moment beforehand, what did Jesus tell them? Jesus had told them to tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. So here's the thing. So basically he was telling them, don't do anything. Don't do anything until you receive the promise of my Father. And just, could you just imagine? We know this is a very familiar scripture and text in here. Can you just imagine the expectation that they had? It's kind of like us. I understand that we just got through the holiday season, and I'm sure all of us were shopping on Amazon Prime and all these things. Can you just imagine where you had ordered this, maybe this gift for someone, and like every 5 minutes you're checking, is it here yet? When it says that it's going to be arriving in 2 to 3 business days. You know, the expectation you had so much of wanting to receive this, you couldn't just help yourself. So, and it says that they waited for 50 days before this moment had arrived. Could you imagine the expectation that is just mounting up within them? And I just begin to wonder, how long would it may have taken for them to become in one mind, where they stopped worrying about things. They stopped worrying about, oh, all the questions. Well, Jesus told us to wait upon the Holy Spirit. Like, is it going to come now? Is it going to come now? Hey, is it here now? Hey, did you hear anything? Did you hear anything? Can you just imagine just how long it may have taken? And in that, just stop being concerned about all the questions and this and that, where their heart was just set on the promise of the Father. And then what happens? All of a sudden, here comes a sound. Understand, that's why it's important when you and I come together and worship and even in prayer. Well, I know sometimes, probably if we were honest, when maybe on, you know, some Wednesday nights or just praying that, anybody there with me that sometimes like, okay, you know, be honest with me. You are in the house of the Lord, so you better be honest. Anybody just have that moment where it's like maybe your mind kind of get distracted? Anybody here? Okay, I got a cup with me. Thank you. Everybody else is Jesus' second cousin, so they don't know what we're talking about. You know, that moment that you're just sitting in prayer and you're just like praying and you're just like in the glory and in the spirit, and then just ever wonder like, man, how come they didn't frost the whole Pop-Tart? You know what I mean? Like, you got all the edges. I hate the edges. I take them off. I just want it to be frosty. You're in that moment. You're just like, man, God, you know, move. But then you're just like, man, why didn't they do that? Anybody had that moment where you just feel maybe distracted? Or maybe you had that moment where you're in service and you're just praying and you're just lost. Maybe not even saying anything, but you're just lost. And then somebody asks you to come up and pray. And you're just like, oh, okay, you know, you're in that moment, but your mind's just like, well, I don't even know what to pray about. So then we just come and we just, Lord, that always works. So, you know, if you hear that, you know that person was paying attention. No, but just those moments that maybe you're in prayer and it seems like your mind may be battling you just a bit to stay focused here. Because here's the thing, the enemy knows when he can try to distract us, even in those moments. Maybe the enemy tries to get our mind off what's happening. It's the ebb of focus in the room. And then it maybe seems like we just lost our focus. Or there's unity. And then maybe there's a moment of disunity. Listen, that's why it's extremely important when we have moments like today with Brother Tom of exhortation, because in that moment, the Holy Spirit is conducting maybe a person to help guide and lead the church that, hey, this is where we're going. You know, just as my wife, as she was just pressing in worship and as she just exhorted on where the Lord is going, it's to help us as a church, it's to help us as a body to stay focused on the prize. Amen. It's being in one accord and in unity. You're going to hear that a lot today because I want it to be in your spirit and in your mind. What would it look like when we come this Wednesday to prayer meeting? Focus, not worrying about anything else, but just for an hour and a half or so, I am setting my heart to pursue. To push and press, to pursue something and hunger with one of mine and one accord. Church, hear me. Just as Brother Tom said earlier even, it's so important for this, for us to be gathered together. Because here's the thing. When we're unified in pursuit, we will have unity in encounter. And check this out. And then encounter causes greater unity. Amen. It comes full circle. So back to our text. What happens after Acts 2, chapter 1? I'm glad you asked. I'm going to tell you. So in Acts 2 and verse 46, you can put that up. It says this. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple. Here's the thing, real quick. So in Acts 2:1, it initiated one accord, and now we're coming to this set of scripture where the whole body of Christ are walking in one accord. So it says this, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor for all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Throw this up. Nothing forges or brings together a community better than an encounter. What they were having in this moment as they initiated just the power and presence coming upon them. And then later in the text in the scripture, they as a community begin to walk together. And I get it. We can do all the events, and we have that here. We love to do those things. But hear me, church, something happens when organically in the presence we're forged together, amen? Last week, it was as Dr. Joyce, and part of her message, had us just look around the room and just look at who was in the room and what we want to see. And for me, I just loved the fact, looking around the room, and looking at the people that were here in that service. Now, also, yeah, what we want to see, but in that moment, just looking at the people who were here and just the joy that I know I felt in my heart witnessing and just seeing us together, just seeing a brother or sister in Christ, maybe getting a touch, it brings such a joy to the heart. That's why coming together is so important, church. It's so powerful coming together. It forges our heart together when God is moving upon one's life. It's like this. Just think of a blacksmith. Everybody know what a blacksmith is? Well, if you don't, you can Google it. So listen, it's just like a blacksmith. When they are forging together two metals, what is the first thing that they need? Fire. Okay, stay with me here. Before they can put the pieces of metal together, they need the fire in it hot enough to do what it is that they need to do. So here's the thing. When we see maybe disunity or less encounters, it maybe is because the fire seems to be dwindling. Stay with me. That's why in Hebrew it says, do not forsake the assembling together. We cannot forsake, like today, the moment we get to have to worship together, amen. That's why it's important that when we come in, we come expecting and just our hearts and our minds focus upon the Lord. Listen, that's why Sunday mornings at 9:45, we encourage just for some morning prayer. Because what we're doing there in that moment is just getting our hearts and our minds focused so that when service truly launches, we are in one mind and one accord, amen? That maybe in those moments that it doesn't seem like, man, good night. Deontay's back there about to lose 100 pounds by heart he's playing. But when we come in one mind and one accord, things flow and God moves. I wish that was true because, man, I would be very skinny right now. Listen, here's the thing. When we're doing that, what we're doing is stirring the fire in that moment and joining together. My brother Paul here, he puts, when you read throughout the New Testament, he puts such emphasis on unity that, check this out. Here's some things that my brother Paul refers to when speaking of disunity. Hear this. In Titus 3, 9 through 11, it says this. But avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. Reject a divisive man after the first and second abomination, knowing that such a person is wrapped and sitting, being self-condemned. Listen, Paul was giving Titus permission that anyone that is being divisive, mark them. Could you imagine maybe coming to a service and be like, oh man, look at him. He's marked with something. You know that dude been bad. You know what I mean? He said mark them. He was giving them permission. Hey, if they're doing this and stepping out of line, you better mark them. Don't worry, we don't do that here. But we'll have the shutdown crew come and take care of you. But Paul understood the importance of unity. And if something is coming in to bring division, that, hey, mark them. Listen to this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. It says this. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Real quick, flip over to Ephesians 4, verse 1 through 6. It says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. In verse 2, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing one another in love. Listen, church, he's speaking to us. In verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of your calling. In verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Listen to this. See, he brings encouragement, and then he began to break down. Okay, here, you come together in one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, meaning let there be nothing between you and I. Hear me this, church. We cannot let that something come between you and I, for it disrupts what God is wanting to do. Huh? Listen, we are the bride longing for the bridegroom. And hear me, it is impossible to love the husband, but not the bride. Check this out. If you don't like my wife, then that means you don't like me. We cannot love God, but not love the church. Hear me this morning. You know, it's so funny because, listen, it's so funny because I'm not a social media guy. I don't care about social media. But during times, it's so crazy that people think, oh, just because I have a Facebook account, I can go on there and begin to tear down the church. Listen, we must be careful because the whole body needs unity more than ever during this time. So even in those moments on those platforms, be careful, church, because listen, the world, the unbelievers, those are out there are looking at the very thing. Why would I want to be a part when they're tearing down the own church? We must guard ourselves from being a divisive person to the body. That's why I hate seeing that junk when it seems like tearing that down. Listen, I know, listen here, we all got some issues, right? We all got problems. I know I got plenty of them. No, I really don't. But listen, we all got some problems, and we understand that maybe there are some things in the church that we got to work on, but it's not up to us to sit and bash the church. Amen. Listen, in this time, we need each other more than ever. We need the church down the street. We need the church in Independence. We need the church in Kansas. We need the body of Christ as a whole. In Revelation 2, verse 6, it says this. But this you have, that you have hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And it's so, listen, man, it's just so funny when certain things are put in the scriptures. It says, but this you have, that you have hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And reading this scripture, I'm like, now, they weren't put in here in the Bible for no reason, right? And I begin to think, who were these people and what did they do? And I begin to think, man, listen, these people messed up big time. It's like God coming up and tell you, like, hey, Sister Lacey, I hate Tommy's ministry. You know what I mean? He came to, he hadn't said that, so God didn't say that. So listen, at this moment, John here is having this vision on the island, and God comes and tells him is that he comes to tell him that I'm calling out the Nicolaitans. So I'm thinking, I don't know, when reading this, I didn't really realize who they were, but I begin to think, man, they surely done something bad. You done messed up now, Aaron, right? So listen, theologians believe this. Theologians believe that these people come from, when you read in the book of Acts, chapter 6, when the deacons are called together, they're all called together at this moment, and one of them was named Nicholas. They believed that he got pulled into destructive heresies and began to teach that to the church and caused many to fall away. And Jesus felt so much to have it written that I know one thing we both can agree upon is I hate this. I hate the disunity. In this moment, you know, for those that read the book of Revelation, I know there may be many scared to read it, but you don't have to be scared. Listen, for those that are read it, when you read about just the interactions that John has as he's having these visions, it was such a dislike in the eyes of the Lord that he had to put it here. It's so important to have unity, church. Jesus made a very specific an order for the body of Christ. And this assembling together is so needed. We need, listen, I need spiritual mothers and fathers speaking into my lives. I need brothers and sisters that are challenging me. We need each other to encourage one another. That you are not doing this thing alone. See, here's the cool thing. When we are in the secret place of prayer and devotion to the Lord, here's the cool thing. Throughout the week, when we're having that time, what we're doing is we are kindling our own fire as each individual. Monday, Tuesday, we come together. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we come together. Sunday. Each day, as we're having that special time with the Lord, what is it doing? That we are carrying fire throughout the week, and that each flame begins to come what? Gather under one roof, as we did today. And when you are burning and pursuing and going after God, that the fire you have been stewarding comes together in each of us. My fire connects to Sister Debbie. Her fire connects to Ben. His fire connects to others. It's important to have the simple devotion, because here's the thing. when we come into service, it's not all about the worship team, you know, oh man, they just got to carry this, they do that, or the pastor, or whoever's doing whatever in that service. It's each and every one of us having our part to where we're bringing our fire during the weekly time of devotion with the Lord, and it begins to connect together, and that's when things happen, that's when things changes, that's when people get saved, and that's when breakthrough happens, that's when healing happens. It's each and every one of us stewarding that fire during the week and coming together under one roof. And we encounter God because we come in with what? In unity, man. As we join the pursuit together, amazing things happen. I'm telling you, if you felt the shift, even as Brother Tom come and begin to exhort, and even as we were pressing before that, and at that moment, as people were pressing in and becoming in unity, I'm telling you, the presence and the Spirit of God begin to move. I could see it looking out. Here's the thing. We understand that we went through a very, 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 very terrible time during the pandemic, right? If we all look back, I know we don't like to look back because we all get PTSD about it. I get it. But listen, when we look back at that moment of during the pandemic and things shut down, it proved more than anything that we need the assembly of the body of Christ. And listen, I don't know about anybody else, and you can sit here and lie to my face, and I won't believe you. But I'll tell you, it was a very terrible time, trying to do church online. Did anybody agree? Okay, I got a few there. I'm telling you, it was so, because, you know, of course, we're not a huge church. We've never done all this live stream stuff and all of that. And I tell you, it was not... It just wasn't the easiest thing when it's about allowed a few of us here and we are pre-recording for a service when it's just a few. And I know God can move during that. I get it. And could you just imagine Pastor Mika, I mean, she is preaching to, I mean, it's about two or three of us, you know, as we're preaching to this camera to send it out. I don't know. It was terrible. It was terrible time. I mean, I know it was kind of cool. We set up the worship team in the doorway, and we had worship out in the parking lot, which was great. We were trying to do something to come together, but I'm telling you, it was a terrible time. I know some of you maybe come on. Come on, be honest with me. I know that as we played the recording on Sunday, I know some of you were probably sitting there in front of the TV like, you know, you are good. And then like, man, I'm about to go sit down. Like, I am done, you know. I know some of y'all probably learned some new moves during that time because nobody else was watching you. But I'm just telling you, during that time was just horrible, man. It was horrible. It showed that we need community, amen. We need a community. And I just want to say one thing. I'm going to tell you this. I know we're not a huge church, but I was very proud of our members because so many conversations that we had with other people and seeing that when churches opened back up, there were so many that fallen away. And we knew that moment during that time, there was going to be just a break in maybe of people where they were truly at in their walk. But I was just very proud of our people that, I mean, I'm telling you, it was like, I felt like it was 90, 95% of us as when we opened back up church was attending regularly again. I love our church, people. Listen, I don't take an offer for myself, so I'm not just saying that to get your money. I'm being honest. I just love our church. It was so important for us to come together again, to worship and pursue and hear the word together. The moment when someone comes alongside of you and prays for you, we need it. It brings such the perspective to the scripture that when two or three are gathered. Here, check this out. Just think about Jesus when he took communion with his disciples, okay? It was Jesus sitting around the table with, the Bible says, those that he loved and that he gave to them. The Bible doesn't say as they were walking, he was like, hey, do you got some bread or do you got some grape juice? I got some, yo. Yeah, they drink grape juice. So anyways, but they wouldn't walk in and talk in. It was like, hey, do you have this? No. Here was the thing. They were sitting together in a special moment and here, this is my body that was broken for you. This is my blood for you. Do this whenever you come together in remembrance. What that did was, and we take that moment to us, it forges when we come together in community. He forges our hearts together when we come together in community. As we encounter him collectively, we will be unified. And listen to this. In John chapter 17, here's the thing. Leading up to John 17, you have, in verses 4, in chapters 14, 15, and 16, you have these significant, amazing prayers and moments that really would cause like Jesus, like mic drop, okay? So we have that in chapters 14, 15, 16. And this is the cool thing about John 17 and verse 20. Check this out. It says this, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. And verse 21, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that you also be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Listen, church, our unity preaches the gospel to people. Listen, at this moment, again, in chapters 14, 15, and 16, Jesus talks there's just some amazing moments that happen in that. But he stops to speak to us. He wasn't just talking to the disciples or the crowds that are following. He was talking to us in this scripture, thinking of us in year 2024. In verse 22, it says, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. In that moment, he stopped to think about us. This is truly called union with Christ. The glory we encounter together makes us one, church. The glory drives out bitterness, amen. Whatever maybe you came in with, it begins to be worked out in your spirit because we are in one mind. We gotta have this, church. Listen, it was this. I'm gonna tell a funny story here. So back in the day, not too long ago. So it was a moment in my life to where I was actually staying with Catherine and Rafa, as they so gracefully allowed me to during a time that I was in transition of moving and stuff. And during this time, so I lived in Belton, right? So I was living with them in Belton. And I had a membership at Planet Fitness, okay? And some other people did too. So here's the thing about doing things together. So one day we went, look, he popped his head up against above the screen there. So one time we went, and my brother Jaden went with me, sister Yvette went with me, and they're like, all right, Deontay, we need you to help us, like, you know, show us what to do. Like, we want to work out with you. I'm like, all right, you ready for this? You know what I'm saying? So we're working out together. And by the time we were done, their body hated me, okay? Their body hated me because they was like, oh my gosh. But here's the cool thing about it. Even though that their body hated it, their word said, man, I want to go again. Because here's the thing. Here's the thing. There's something about doing it together. There's something about maybe when they tried to go by themselves, just, you know, do a couple of things. Oh, this is boring. I'm going home. Oh, and I'm going to get a Tootsie Roll on my way out. Oh, the day that they have pizza, I'm going to grab a pizza on my way out too. Yeah, Planet Fitness does that. So, but here's the thing. But then when we gathered together and worked out, there was progression. There was knowing what to do. and doing it together, even though their body is screaming, I'm going to punch Deontay after this. There is something that changes and happens when it's about doing it together. When we come in here and worship together, hear the word together. That's why the word says, bear each other's burdens. Because even while you're struggling, we can do it together. When you're walking through a valley, we would walk it together. When you're facing a battle, we will face it together. Church, we must guard the unity in this place. Guard your thoughts and words. The Lord has entrusted us with this one thing. We got to guard it. And in preparing the close, as my wife makes her way up, we end up with unity and vision and purpose. Here's the thing. So after the disciples and the followers of Jesus, after they were being persecuted for preaching the gospel, they come together and pray. And in Acts 4, we're going to read 23 through 31. Yes, today I'm helping you get your Bible reading in. And our brother Stephen helped you too when he gave the Psalms 116 in the text. But listen, so I'm going to help you with some reading here. In Acts 4, verse 23, it says this. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reporting all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God. You made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? In verse 26, the kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Verse 27, for truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Verse 29, Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants with all boldness that they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke with the word of God with boldness. Check this out. At the beginning, we read about it in Acts 2. And this is Acts chapter 4. And here's the thing. You got to pay attention to the moments when things are said, when things are repeated. So with this being the second time that this is brought forth, it shows that, hey, there's an ingredient to this. When we show up with passion and one mind and one accord, with all things, one accord, then things will shake if we want a move of God. We come together with a group of people who believe in Jesus, loves the Holy Ghost, full of the Holy Ghost and fire, and begin to cry out, things will begin to move. It has to happen. It didn't just happen in Acts 2, the one time when they were told to wait. It happened again through a period of time. And they did this so that Jesus' name could be proclaimed through the earth. Not new life, but Jesus' name. The vision and mission to reach in the lost and dying world needs to burn in our hearts collectively. God is doing a work in our midst, and we're working to build a structure accordingly with the help of the Holy Spirit. Would you stand? I'm going to, as ending, I want to read this scripture verse. And my wife actually sent this to me during the week. She sent this plot of scriptures. And she was like, isn't this a word for the church? Or like stealing her thunder of the scriptures here. But it went so perfectly with the message today. And I want to read Romans 13, 11 through 14. It says this. I didn't give it to him. Romans 13 says this. To live like this is all the more urgent, for time is running out, and you know it is a strategic hour in human history. It is time for us to wake up, for our full salvation is nearer now than we first believed. Verse 12, night's darkness is dissolving away as a new day of destiny dawns. So we must once and for all strip away what is done in the shadows of darkness, removing it like filthy clothes. And once and for all, we clothe ourselves with the radiance of light as our weapon. Verse 13, and I am reading out the Passion Translation. In verse 13, it says, we must live honorably, surrounding by the light of this new day, not in the darkness of drunkenness or debauchery, not in promiscuity and sensuality, not being argumentative or jealous of others. In verse 14, instead, fully immerse yourselves into the Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, and don't waste even a moment's thought on your former identity to awaken its selfish desires. Is that not a word for the church today, across the nation, across the world? God has called us to be unified. When we come together and join together, it's to be unified. When we come in one mind, one accord, and in one passion, things change. Things shake. We got to have unity, church, as we move forward. Not only just with us, but just the body of Christ, the brothers and sisters of the faith. We got to have it for what God is wanting to do. Bow your heads. Holy Spirit, we trust you. We trust what you're doing in each and one of us. We trust what you're doing in the nation. Even though it looks like there's turmoil and war and different things going on, God, we say we trust you. And here at New Life, we say we trust you, God. Lord, we pray that you would knit us together closer in one mind, one accord, and in one passion. That when we join together, God, we want things to change. We want things to shake. We want things broken. We want things mended. God, we want salvation. We want your signs, miracles, and wonders to be done. God, and as we steward our personal fires throughout the week, and as we join together under one roof, God, we pray that things shake. Because, God, we want you to be glorified, and we want you to be lifted up. For it's nothing about us, but, God, that we have a hunger for more of you. For we have a pursuit for you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. At this time, so cool, because I was even sensing it as, you know, we was worshiping, and then even my sister coming up just to confirm that I felt like, and it was confirmation that the Lord wants to touch some people this morning. And so what I would like to happen is, I want the prayer team, I want to invite them, those that are part of the prayer team, I want them to come up here to the front. And we have a moment to have some personal prayer time. And we want to pray with you. Man, I felt it so strongly as we were in worship that the Lord was just wanting to touch some people today. Listen, just as my brother opened up with, not sure what you came in with, but we sense that the Holy Spirit wants to touch your situation today. And in this moment, we want to come as a prayer team into unity with you. And whatever that is, whether you want to tell them or not, they'll be led by the Holy Spirit to pray for you accordingly. And as Lacey begins to worship, and just the atmosphere of worship is set, we want to join with you in prayer. I know there was a lot of hands that went up, as Brother Tom said, you know, how many is dealing with this or, you know, have something going on? And I want to invite you that would you come and let us pray with you. Again, you don't have to speak anything to them, but I want to invite you to come, and we want to agree together and pray over you that whatever that is, for God to break it, for God to touch you, whatever it is that you come today, we all came expecting something in our lives, individually and corporately. And whatever it is, that individual thing that you came in here expecting for God to touch, I would ask you to come. And we want, and as Lacey worship, we want to join with you in prayer. Would you come? Would you come?